In a time full of war, be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. Yeah, there ain't that much difference between you and me. In a time full of war, be peace. In a world full of hate, be alive. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be alive. La 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 la.
In a place that needs change, make a difference. In a time full of noise, just listen. Life is but a breeze, better live it. In a place that needs change, make a difference.
In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right.
Oh, don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light.
La la la. Slow it down.
Yeah, you only get one go round.
'Cause the finish line is 6 feet underground.
In a race you can't win, just slow it down.
In a world full of hate, be alive. When you do somebody wrong, make it right.
In the dark, you were born to shine.
In a world full of hate, we alive. It's hard to live in color when you just see black and white. In a world full of hate, be alive. In a world full of hate, be alive. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be alive.
You are the light of the world. Go shining. How wonderful to see my brother Bill Brooks. And to hear his lovely voice, and my God, my sister, Sarah Dacey Charles, you touch me at the depths of my heart, because as you were saying about the prayer chaplaincy training, it's not about pretty words. It's about really feeling it, really knowing it. And that's what I sense in you. That's what I feel when you speak. That's what I feel when you sing. That's what I see in your eyes and what I see in your aura. Not just someone who is skilled at extending pretty words, as you put it, but someone who knows the truth that sets us free and whose glad mission it is to spread that truth that sets us free. So thank you both so much. And I agree with you, Reverend Britt. Every sound of my sister Zoe's voice, whether she's singing or whether she's speaking, also warms my soul. I'm so grateful, and I'm so grateful for our Creator bringing precious cargo safe home, bringing our Reverend Britt, the spiritual leader of Unity of New York, safe home from his travels. I sure know, I know you don't make safe home from every travel, not even going to the grocery store down the street, but God is good. We know, according to the daily word for today, that it is by grace I live, by grace I am released. I feel God's will and share it for happiness for me. I feel the love of God within me now, and I am healed. I'm healed by returning to my home, my home with God, my home with knowing that I am part of God and God is part of me, that everyone is part of God and that God is part of everyone. It's interesting because Peace Be Still is not the talk title that I remember typing on my text to my brother Leo. I thought that my title was Stormy Weather and that I would eventually get to the words Peace Be Still. But I'm really grateful that whether I mistyped or it got misread, that the talk title for this day is Peace Be Still. What do we want and what do we need more than anything else? Peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Everybody knows automatically that you're peaceful when circumstances are peaceful, when everything is hunky-dory, when all of your prayers are answered, when everything seems to be going your way, when you're having a good day and it's very clear that it's the best day over. Well, it's natural that you would feel peace. But the peace that surpasses all understanding is peace that you can have when you're in the middle of a storm. What peace is available to us when stormy weather comes? We all know, I'm sure most of us know, that this scripture title and the idea of Peace Be Still comes from an experience that the disciples of Jesus, the followers, those who are following the one who follows the one, are having an experience of stormy weather. We know that in this scripture, Jesus has been preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching. Word is gone out throughout all of the area that this man speaks the word of God and has healing in his touch and can transform your life. People were flocking in from everywhere, wanting to touch him, wanting to be in his presence, wanting to hear his life transforming teachings. And so he's been on a roll. He's been doing a all day, every day, day after day seminar. And all day, every day, day after day workshop on the transformation of the mind. And at this point, he is exhausted. He has to get off of the shore, off of the land, because he has everybody around him wanting more, 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 more. And what Jesus knows is something that I've talked about often, is that every channel for God must take time to be replenished, must take time for self-care, must get refilled with God contact in order to outpour. Ministers are among the groups of people who suffer burnout at the same rate as rescue workers, because they feel in their heart that their life goal is to save people. So some ministers find it hard to take time for self-care when there are so many people in their field who are in need. They know that rather than taking a quick nap, they could be reaching out to two or three more people to assist them in rising above the cares and troubles and circumstances of their life experience. Jesus knows that he has to plug in to his Father, to his Abba, like a phone that needs to be plugged into a charger. At this point, Jesus needs to recharge. And so he tells his disciples, let's get on a boat and take me out into the sea. Take me out far enough that other boats can't reach me, that no one will be calling upon me. No one will be clinging to me. No one will be needing more of me. I need to connect to Abba because my battery is now running low. And so they take him out onto the Sea of Galilee in this little boat, this little ship, as some of the text call it. We know it wasn't a ship as we know a ship. It was simply a large fishing boat. And while they are out on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus, needing to plug in and go to his source, has gone down into the lower part of the boat in order to cop some Z's, as we used to say when I was a young person. He had to cop some Z's. In other words, he had to get some sleep. He knew that when he rested himself, that he could be alone with God and be refilled. And so he is down there. The disciples know he's exhausted. They have witnessed him teaching and healing and blessing and bestowing the grace of God upon everyone in his field. They know he needs his replenishing, and they are adamant that they will do nothing to disturb him from his recharging moments. Yet, all of a sudden, in came stormy weather. We know that many of the fishermen, many of the disciples were fishermen by trade. They had been on the Sea of Galilee. They had seen many storms come, and they had lived through many storms, and they had always arrived safely back on shore. But this storm was like no other. I don't know if you, like me, have had certain storms in your life that are like no other. We have all been through so many storms. We have all been through so many dark days. We've all been through so many days and experiences that we don't know if we can live through, if we can make it through. And it feels like we truly might perish. Well, these fishermen, and I always think of all, out of all of the other disciples, I think primarily of Peter. Peter was known as the big fisherman. Peter was a very masculine, very strong, very bull-headed man. He was the roughest guy on the block. And yet, this storm was so big that not only did the other 11 disciples of the living Christ embodied become afraid, but it got to a point where Peter himself was terrified. It really looked like this storm was about to tip that boat over and that they all might drown. I see them all with buckets scooping out the water as the waves pour themselves over into that boat. I see them fighting to keep that little boat steady in the raging winds that are pounding that little boat. The last thing they want to do is wake up Jesus from his recharge experience, from his moments to plug into his power source, which he claims is our power source, which is making God connection, connecting with God mind. You know, one of the unity principles, prayer is creative thinking that heightens our connection with God mind, and therefore brings forth wisdom, health, prosperity, peace, and everything good. They could not make it by themselves. Fear was overwhelming them. Everything they were doing in their human effort was simply not enough. I don't know if you've been there, but I know I have been. I have had my bucket trying to get the wave waters out of my boat. I have had my hand on the steering, trying to keep it steady in the midst of hurricane type winds that are pounding and turning me at will. I have done everything in my human power to make it through this stormy weather and to not perish in the midst of it. But the disciples got at some point what I have gotten at many points in my own life. I can't do this by myself. I can't do this alone. I can't even do it with the assistance of my brothers and my sisters who are all in the same position that I'm in, a position of being afraid. Fear is the biggest enemy. Fear announces that we have forgotten one thing that we should never forget, which is the almighty power of God is alive and well and living in me. It is the Christ of my being. And so in this scripture story, eventually having received clear, actual, lived out knowledge that they couldn't do it by themselves, they finally had to go down into the lower belly of that little boat and wake up Jesus. Jesus, please get up. You must get up. There's an old Pentecostal song that words it like this of what they're saying to Jesus. Master, the tempest is raging and the billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with darkness. No peace or comfort have I. Carest thou not that we perish? How can you lay asleep when each moment, each wave is threatening our graves in the angry deep? Get up, Jesus. Jesus got up. This is tantamount to us of waking up the Christ within us, waking up the all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present presence of our Creator. God, as we know, is omniscience itself and has given us the power to be omniscient. God is omnipotence itself and has given us the power to be omnipotent. God is omnipresence itself and has given us the power to have the omnipresent Spirit of God activated, awakened, and enlivened in us. Get up, Jesus. So Jesus gets up. And he can immediately feel that they are not exaggerating. That boat is rocking back and forth, almost turning over every moment. And he steadies himself, and they hold on to the rails, and they hold on to the walls to keep themselves from falling as they make their ways up onto the deck of that little boat. And it's just as they said. There is no exaggeration at all. It truly looks like and feels like this stormy weather could cause the perishing of everyone on board. The waves are lapping over the top of the boat, and it is filling with water more quickly than that water can be bucketed out. It really looks like danger. Jesus sees it as opportunity, an opportunity to show the power of the Almighty God we serve, and an opportunity to show the power of the children of God when they are plugged into the all power of the one power we call God, the omnipotence that God is. Can become omnipotent in, as, and through us. So while the others were afraid, they had become not quite so afraid because they knew that they had awakened the Christ. He's no longer underground, no longer pushed down into the subconscious, has been awakened and brought into consciousness, has been brought onto the surface, has been brought right into the midst of the storm. And what does Jesus do? He steadies himself. He stands flat-footed. He looks that storm in the face. And he says three little words that are three huge words of power. Peace. Be still. And immediately, the rain stopped. Immediately, the wind stopped. Immediately, the dangerous waves became a clear surface of the seawater. Immediately, there was calm brought to that little boat. Immediately, the stormy weather had passed. Jesus has confronted the storm, had not hidden from it, had not run away from it, had not raged against it, had not wondered why the Father God in heaven sent it, had not seen it as dangerous, but as opportunity. Once again, an opportunity to rediscover and to demonstrate that the omnipotence that God is the omnipotent power that I have as a child of God. Three little big words, three little huge words, three little storm stopping words. Peace, be still. Some of the disciples looked at him and they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? This is the power of the living Christ in us. It is the true and only power that we truly have. It is the power of Christ, which is the power of complete, pure, conscious awareness of oneness with the Creator. You know, for a long time there was a very popular phrase that was going on. People had bracelets with the phrase on it. People had stickers that they wore and buttons that they wore. People had bumper stickers. People passed out little cards. And all of these messages read, what would Jesus do? I used to say that as well. Oh, that's awesome. What would Jesus do? It's awesome that this has become a popular slogan so that more and more people can effort to be more active in doing what Jesus would do. That could forward people's capacity to be slow to anger and quick to forgive, to drop the rock, to have more faith, to have more understanding of the power that is within them. One day, after many months of me joining the others in saying, what would Jesus do, and efforting to do what Jesus would do, the Holy Spirit spoke to me one night. And after that night, I preached on this in many churches for the next several months. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Reverend Carlos, it is not a matter of what would Jesus do. It is not a question of what would Jesus do. It is a manner and a matter and a question of who would Jesus be. Because what you do is sponsored by who your sense of beingness is. If we could understand who would Jesus be, then we could seek to become that. If you're trying to do what Jesus does and what Jesus did, then that can go completely against your character, against who you think you are. It can go against your own nature. You can find yourself wanting to talk back, wanting to retaliate, but you must use effort to keep your mouth closed. You may not want to be helpful, but you're going to be helpful to do what Jesus did because that's your mission. But you're not sincerely being helpful. You're going through the motions. Once again, it is not a question of what would Jesus do. It is a matter of who would Jesus be. You must be who Jesus bees in order to do what Jesus does. Once again, I know this isn't correct English. I like using phrases that are not correct English just so they give you the point. So I'm going to say it again. You must be who Jesus bees in order to do what Jesus does. In other words, it's a change in consciousness, not an activity. It is not a change in action that's being called for. It is a change in self-identity, a change in who you think you are. As long as you think you are a human being, your automatic response to the experience of life will be a human response. And we know that a human response is based on ideas of scarcity, ideas of being a lone self who must fend for itself. The idea of being a human being is an idea that always contains a piece of victimization in it. It's me against the world. I must do all I can. I must get my buckets to get the wave water out of my boat. I must use all of my power to keep the steering as steady as I possibly can. As long as I don't know that I am a child of God, that I am a son or a daughter of God, that God and I are one, that's who Jesus bees. Jesus knows and has spoken, I have no power of myself. All of the power you see in me comes through me and is sponsored by my Father, Abba, the all-powerful one. And so our doing springs forth out of who we're being, out of our self-identity. It is good to always examine what pieces of our identity are placed in the idea of being a victim of what others have done or have failed to do, a victim of society and how it is set up, a victim of the government, a victim of the many wounds that we had visited upon us in our early childhood experiences, a victim of so many things that have happened and so many things that are certain to happen in my future. That's a human experience. I have to look out for myself. I have to take care of me. It's me against the world. That's not who Jesus bees. It might be who I be, but Jesus knows. The Father and I are one, and all of the power that God is has been given to me to share, and all of the love that God is has been given to me to share, and all of the peace that God is has been given to me to share. When I remember that the Father, Mother, Spirit, God is my source, and we are indivisible, and that nothing shall ever be able to separate me from the love, grace, mercy, and protection of God, then we are being who Jesus bees. It was not what Jesus did that the people who were the disciples at the time marveled at. It was not what he did. They didn't say, wow, how cool. He actually just stopped that storm. What they questioned was, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his will? Well, he had told them, and he would tell them again, that was not my will being done. That was God's will being done. And I have not come to demonstrate to you what manner of man I am, but what manner of spirit I am. What manner of pure, conscious awareness of being at one with my Creator and all of creation I am. It's all a matter of consciousness. It's all a matter of self-transformation from human to divine, from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal, as our truth, as who we be. When the next storm comes, because there will always be stormy weather at periods in our life, let us not run away from the storm or be terrified because of it or think we might perish. Let us, like Jesus, steady ourselves and stand flat-footed, remembering that we are a piece of God with all of the power of God. And let's not argue with the storm or complain about the storm. Let's speak three little words that are three huge cosmic words. Peace. Be still. It is not the raging storm on the sea. It is the raging in my own mind. Let my raging thoughts be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. And now let's go into meditation to deepen our connection with God mind and to therefore bring forth wisdom, health, prosperity, peace, and all things good. Thank you for your listening. God is in everything I see, because God is in my mind. Let me not look with my two eyes of the physical body, where I see what I presume to be the opposing forces of good and evil. May I look upon all I see with the eyes of Christ, the Christ self of my being, personified by Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be at one with God, and yet not getting full of himself and puffed up in his own glory, but giving all praise to the source of his being, his Abba, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in the eyes of the Almighty One who dwells within me, within my heart mind, within my belief, and with every cell and every atom of my body temple. Let my true declaration be that God is in everything I see, because God is in my mind. I am always projecting into the surround the deepest and most sincere thoughts that are within me. And they give rise to the projection that I project out as the world of my surround. Thoughts of separation that I am holding deep within me at the core of my being are shined out into the surround as evidence of separation. Racism, sexism, classism, elitism, all the special isms that there are, and all the phobias, homophobia, racial phobia, religious phobia. And so I choose in this moment to tap into the core thoughts of the Christ being I am. Seeing oneness within, projected out. Seeing good within, projected out. Seeing mercy and goodness within, projected out. Seeing God within, projected out into the surround. In everyone I see, and in everything I see, God is in everything I see, because God is in my mind. God is in everything I see, because God is in my mind. God is in everything I see, because God is in my mind. And so I say amen. So it is. And so I let it be. Show.
Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Comfort you. Where there is silence, let me sing praise. Where there's despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, me bring light. And with these words I speak, grant that I may not seek to be heard, but to hear, to be consoled, but to console. Not to be seen, but to see.